This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I read to you from verse 9 to 14. And he spake this parable unto Satan, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." So this morning, this is the passage we are considering, and it's a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave when he was teaching. It's a parable, and our subject is false estimate of the self-righteous. False estimate of the self-righteous. And then I'll pay yes, I'm going to say, I give you a actual look. I'm going to say, I'm going to read Jesus to Okai at the church and say, I'm going to say, And then before I move on, and all the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ were to instruct spiritually. Every parable, though it may even have other moral lessons, it is to instruct us about spiritual things. Things concerning our salvation, things God wants us to know concerning salvation of sinners. Some of them are a warning, as we have this. Some of them are also like, it tells us the nature of God's people and how he wants to deal with us. His kindness, sometimes like you see the prodigal son, the kindness of the father, which shows how God deals with sinners when we repent and come to him. And some of them also tells us even how God wants his church to be and all that. So it's all about spiritual lessons, and the parables are for such. And so we find in this parable the attitude of a Pharisee and a tax collector involved in engaging in religious acts. The publican is a tax collector. And Lord Jesus Christ used this to teach us a lesson. And this is what we are thinking this morning. The Pharisee and the tax collector went to the temple to pray. And it could be even a real thing that happened, but then the lesson is what we are looking at. Then yes, just to say, this parable is to warn sinners. That's what it is. Who trust in their mere religious deeds, who think that when they offer any religious act to the Lord in the church, it will compensate for their sins before him. The American said, "We or the what? Kwa koko say, say a tia boni mno na fiu sebeye a som bibi anasa a sorry bibi a wanya mimi mna yami aji a tunu no or the way koko say." We find this, the Pharisee, I think from verse 11, we see the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulteress, or even as this publican, I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. So, bringing his good things before the Lord to tell him that, Lord, this is what I do, and this is the danger. And so, often when people try to, some may not be saved with their mouth, but when they come to the Lord in this kind of mindset, oh, I have said that I have done something for the Lord, so the Lord received me, it makes them to ignore the fact that they lack the righteousness God requires. They make us say, "My brother said, 'If Papa and me, you must was sad. Oh, for an important kind, I said, I dreamed that you so why Papa been the right engine one. And money panel, never if you say, 'I mean, him no need to the area with him.' It's a danger, and many people may fall into that. So, Lord Jesus Christ warning us by this parable, because what we should know is that in whatever states we come before the Lord, if we forget our lack of righteousness, if we forget how we are not perfect before Him, it makes us equally disgusting to Him, like any other sinner who doesn't even come to church, like any other sinner who don't want to hear the name of God. We may say an atheist, yes. We may be coming to church, but if you are those who think that, well, we come to God and God, we are people of God because the fact that we have done something good for God, our condition before God is the same as somebody who never stepped in the church at all. You see? So it's a great thing that we should be careful of. As I said, many a time people will not say with their mouth, but in their own heart, they feel good. They feel comfortable before God. No. God will let us know that in matters of His dealings with us, nobody has righteousness. So this is the things we are thinking about this morning. Because, you know, as people, when people seem to claim a kind of goodness before the Lord, and they have such a low view of their sinfulness before God, God deprives them of His righteousness, or His acceptance of them. That's what many people don't know. Then when we come to God in that boldness in ourselves, God, though we may pray, we may do whatever we do, God never accepts us. God never give us freely all that He gives to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all that we are able to, if ever God accepts us, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. If the Lord will accept anybody, it's because of what Christ has done. Jesus Christ, Yakupo, Yabani, Nas, or Betia, Tumua, it's not about Cooper, so say Jesus Christ, the way of Calvary's crossing. And no pen or say any that so. See, a year, and if you so impuny, you need to say the before for Kamwa, Yakupo, and Yendu. So you see, God only brings sinners to Himself through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. The only way God will receive anybody. It's through what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary that I place my faith in that. That through what Christ has done, His merit, I come to God in that. So you see, God never accepts us. Even if we are believers and we think we are good in us, so God never accepts us. But for sinners, for them to repent and truly reconcile to God, that's a major thing through the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as every believer. Then make us say, see, about the Rajan Dimna, a year so well, we pop away from the Yakupo Bedia to my dad. Yakupo Gia to Pe, a Gina Christo, the Jumoyo Calvary. So, who are you mad for your four? A sofa swapper, this is open in that swamp. Is any there also? That's in his initial that say, oh, be papa away from one. Yakupo Gian to, and my Baslebia, a year the boy of four, any Yakupo, MA and Cabomino, Nasia by any dear. Nasi, your first idea, we are who point here. Unto me, any young Kabumbia. Okay, so to continue in our thinking through this parable, we shall observe some things. And the first thing we shall observe is that why people falsely estimate themselves as righteous. And then, I didn't think they'd be more said, I'm going to train them with right here. Ah, and also, I didn't pray. I'm going to move somewhere, send it for, and I'm going to move right here. But I didn't pray. Why? Why people estimate that they are good and righteous before God? Because people do that. And until we have come to know the Lord, God Himself has changed our heart. That's what we may think. We may think that, well, somehow, well, I've lived my life this and that so bad again, but somehow, because I do some good things, God will accept me. You see? Why? The first thing is that because of being confident in yourself. You see? In this world, we are told we have to be bold and do all that we can. And that we should not let anything truly, I mean, standing away. And people bring the same attitude before God. And we are seeing where we, they kind of say, oh, what's that? No. Before God, we cannot bring this attitude. So the first thing that you can say, in fact, look at the verse 9, we are told. And he spake this parable unto certain, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So, to those who claim to be righteous, you see, to certain. So, he did that. He's directing it to those who think they are righteous, who despise others. Friends, it is a great mistake and a so destructive one for any descendant of Adam to claim to be righteous in himself or herself. It's a great mistake. The other kind is that how do you say mistake? And from so past, Obiara, Ophiadam, Obakas, or walk, Chene, Yabiwodim, I am from so. All descendants of Adam are sinners. That's what the Bible teaches us. Obi ofia damu, and we are simply ofia damu. Obi ofia damu, and we are the one. And every sinner is deprived of righteousness. We are deprived. We are destitute of righteousness. The boy in the piano, we need to learn here. The boy in the piano, we need to learn here. I had to say this yesterday. I am from so past. Me, we fear that must say because we yet train in. We are all born in sin. In Job chapter 50, verse 14, it says, what is man that he should be clean? This, when we put it as a human being, that he should be clean. And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. All of us, we are born of a woman. And the fact is that the process of our coming into the world, we are also given sin because we came from sinners. We also give birth to children. We give them our sinfulness in their nature. So what is man? What is a human being? What is mankind that he should be clean before God? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous. How can anyone who is born into this world by through Adam and through Eve claim to be righteous? You see? None is capable of making himself righteous. It's settled. Or can he do anything that will make him righteous before God? No, nobody. Because and also the Bible tells us that none is able to make himself righteous by obeying the law of God. When we obey God's law, it doesn't make us righteous. The Bible has a catechism said, you need to know how you are. In the end, you need to know you. The reason is because none of us are able to obey all the law. You see, the Bible tells us, if we obey only one, we have to disobey all. So that only one sin makes me a sinner. So that while we it is our duty to obey God's law, none is able. That's a fact. And we know because we cannot obey all, every partial obedience to God's law is imperfect. And so that because we cannot obey all the law of God, it makes us not to be justified before Him, so that God cannot look upon us and say, "Oh, you are free from every disobedience." You see, God look upon each one of us and sees our disobediences. Yankupon or she obi biara no hu yete yankum swaya ye obi a one yankum swa. In Galatians 2:16, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I said, "Na mum brand juma so there." That's what the Bible teaches, and it is true. By the works of the law. I know there are some Christian people who think that, well, we are justified somehow by the law. They will add salvation in Christ and justification also. They add now good works. The Bible is settled. The Bible is true. The Bible is God's word. we cannot imagine. So that for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So you see, I'm going to come back. So no, be unto me in ya. So no, you're right. No, be unto me. Be we right there. So let us know that no one has inherent, that is, inborn righteousness or self-acquired righteousness. Obi biya ni hu a wo ti ebe wo na no e tin ye ni. Ana se obi biya si mu o tun bi di nyaku ko mra so obi ni ho. You see how the Hebrew writer say how our state by nature is poor. We are very poor. We can never be we cannot stand righteous before God, the Almighty God. We cannot. So that is a deception for any to feel righteous before God, because he or she imagined that he have lived right. For me, I have lived right. It's a false imagination. Some can say, "Omo de, if you ask me, we matnasi, oh right, be very right." Then my can say, "Oh, matnasi, my boy, my brother, I'm a swear right there." Obi any of it to my casa. Obi a brother, I'm swear right there. We are all lawbreakers before God. So that if people claim to be righteous before God, it is false. Another aspect, another way people also some falsely imagine their righteousness is that by comparing their conduct to others. A quite say, if you must fast food, so I'm going to turn your phone and say, I'm going to my bravo, and if it's true, it'll be my bravo. So I'm going to say, oh, yeah, dear, bravo. In verse 11, look at what the Pharisee said. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You see, it wasn't right there that was a semi there. Made this away almost as if for a moment paper, if you might, I was a cell phone, if you might want for any or more, and be important appointments are to a genuine. Yes, that the man is claiming to be righteous by comparing himself to the quote, quote, unquote, the greatest sinner. You see, you see, some see only specks of amendable sins in themselves. That, oh, for me, well, I have some bad sins, but my sins are not as great as those people. I can really change myself. And in that sense, that they think the others are worse sinners. Because they think, well, for them, they cannot change themselves. And in their own imagination, they classify sins and thereby excuse themselves. And then they think they are righteous before God. And the category of people under here is almost those who are often brought up in Christian homes. Those who have Christian upbringing. Well, mommy and daddy fear the Lord. They took me to church all the time. They taught me the word of God. I grew up knowing so many verses in my head. And somehow, in my mind, I fear God in the sense that the areas that I think, well, I do not disadvantage, I fear God. So I am better than other children. So I compare, maybe I'm a young person. I've been brought up this way. I look at my colleagues at school, at the workplace. Well, they are stealing, I'm not stealing. Maybe they are cheating, I'm not cheating. They are arrogant, I'm not arrogant. Well, I'm better than them. No. We all have our sins. We are, the greatest of all, we are born in sin. And most of the time, you discover in the heart of such people pride and a kind of, hard sins. I mean, have hatred and other things in their own heart. But because they are not stealing from the company's money, or maybe in the school they obey authority, they say, well, I am a good person, and then they bring that before the Lord. So that is it. People compare themselves with others. Well, this people, for me, I go to church, I do this and that and that. For this people, they don't. So I am better. No. You see. So some people may compare themselves to others, and looking, maybe we live in a community where all the boys or the girls are becoming so bad in the social, in the eyes of people, or else we are good and we are respectful. No, it doesn't mean that you are righteous before God. We all have our sins. So it moves on to the fact that others also, by being confident in outward religion, so this category of people falling also into this. In verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This person is not just being brought up. He has grown up and is now involved in religious activities. I fast twice. It's not bad to fast. It's not wrong to tithe. These are rightful religious activities. But we cannot depend on religious activities to get justified before God. Also, me chie kom mrem yenu o na otwi mu. Me san so tia me tutu su di nya me rade. Na me san san mo afarisi ni o okay. E asem o ya die hu hia say say. Ye yo ema go nya me asem e ka fie ye. Na mo mo bi antu bi njina sa di so emfa pension ye o rade ani. Ye o mno no. So you see, not I mean I fast twice in a week and pay my tithe and offer whatever. I'm sure we have heard some of the preachers saying, well, if you don't pay your tithes, you don't go to heaven. If you don't pay your tithes, you are cursed. No. It is a right, any religious activity is right to be done. God ought to be worshipped. God ought to be served. And our resource must be given to serve him. But it doesn't give any righteousness. Neither does it give us any good standing before God. No, that is not what God looks at. Because many people can do that and still be distant from him. But the Pharisees claiming to do this so that God should accept it. When it comes to God justifying us, it doesn't depend on anything we do. It doesn't depend on anything we do, you see. So that those who think that, well, I hinted it because there are people who say, well, it has become a big thing that if you don't pay your tithe, God curses upon you. They go and quote Malachi, what God told the people of Israel. And they speak to them. What about those who also break the Lord's Day? That one, no. What about those who, the course of the week, they lie to draw the course of the week? That one, God will bless them. If they don't pay their tithe, God will not bless them. You see how false, when people devise sin and try to pick some. No, all religious activities are good. If we are those that have good standing with God. But beyond that, it has nothing to give us. Because God must give us his righteousness first. So that many who assume to be righteous before God because church attendance, prayer habits, well, I pray more. You know how God, the religious right, often condemn the prayers of the Pharisees. You see, they pray so much. It's good to pray. Because in the passage, even the religious right himself said that, verse 1, and he said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. But then, if we use our praying to become like a kind of, compensation for our sin, we are doing nothing. That's what the Bible teaches us. You see, all religious activities are good. Giving of our tithes and offerings, involving the church work, they are all good. Having a position to serve in the church, they are all good. But if people base their acceptance with God on this, they are false. You see, 7:22 to Sudo, remember, I'm sorry, my bomb pire, I didn't have a senior major, the many of you, the Bia was running up to me, I assume you're right, and here, Pastor, but say, me, Jesus, I'm not going to use to, and not going to go and Jimmy sent me a training, and I'm going to be a mechanic in Bafua, and I said, me, you'll be a that's your defining mark was for him, more American who be a dad, and that's the warning we are having here. Because people can get involved in all these things and yet their pride, their lust, self-love, greediness, lies are nothing to them. People will be able to say, I'm a human soul, 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 I'm a human soul. And they keep their sins. Their sins are not anything to them. And you know, those who act like this, they act like some companies, business entities, what they portray in their public records. In their balance sheet, they will cook it up. Their profit and loss, they will misrepresent it and bring more profit and declare less losses. And then they will finally promise growth. And yet, they are all fallacy. See, that's what many some companies do. They try to cook up their accounts, and that's what people who keep saying that they are religious and yet they depend on that, and because of their religion, they depend on that to have acceptance to God. That's what they are doing. Yes, we cover our sinfulness and then we bring this to God and to show public that we are God's people. It's the same way. But you know, these companies that are insincere, when external auditors come in. And examine the accounting records, they are soon found wanting. They are soon found liars and bankrupt. I'm sure we have read of many news in such about such companies. And that is how some people also who act this way, they look before God. Because you know how companies' reports are examined by external auditors, the day of God's judgment is going to be so. We may have examined ourselves and said, well, we are right before God. God's examination of our religious claims at the day of judgment will be most accurate and most revealing. Many people do that. They will cover it up and yet claim that because they are religious, God should accept them. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, said the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So that if I am thinking that God will accept me because of what I've done, God will reward me because his word has taught me that nobody can claim righteousness in what he does before God. So that he will reward me for that. He will reward me for that if I claim to be righteous and accepted by this. God weighs our religious claims. You see, we may deceive human beings, but God weighs it. God knows our hearts. And he's weighing our hearts, measuring them, he measures it with the accurate scale of his perfect righteousness. You know what God does? We may compare ourselves to God. He has a perfect righteousness. So, he compares what we claim before him to his. Are we able to measure up to what God has? Yankupon, so, Sonny Yesu, or ye, this me, ye, 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 or do you want to turn here? No, this Sonny Yesu. On fire, the end will be there. On one day, I do 100%. And you know that the Bible repeated to us that this perfect righteousness has, God has sent his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to secure for sinners. You see? That's the amazing thing of God's grace, that though we don't have them in ourselves, we don't have it in ourselves, God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to secure this for sinners. To secure it for all who believe in him. But when it was done on the cross of Calvary, that was the purpose. That all mankind have lost the ability, capacity to come to God in themselves to be righteous, but he died so that whoever believes in him, he may have that perfect righteousness, because it is in him. He is God. He is the Son of God. He purchases for us. So that God, through Jesus Christ, has shown us how we may secure this righteousness. See, God looks not on the outward show of religion, but he looks into the heart, if it's totally surrendered to Christ. See, Yakupo on share in this source of Akumano, it didn't have my history. Have I given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Many people have heard about Christ dying for them. Have they given their heart to him? Have they entirely submitted their will to his? Have they entirely submitted their life to his? You see, is that's the point. That am I fully 100% trusting on what he has done on the cross of Calvary? Is that my hope of acceptance with God? Or because I do something, God should accept me? No. I should have that as my hope. What Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Because that is the only righteousness that measure up to what God has. That's why the Bible teaches that Lord Jesus Christ is God himself. Because no creature has perfect righteousness. No creature. The Bible tells that the angels are even not clean in his sight. The pure angels in heaven, because they are creatures. Because if God should leave them, they may fall like any one of us, you see. They are holy not in themselves. It's because of God is keeping them holy. And we also, until God himself has kept us holy through Christ, we have no holiness. We have no righteousness before him. Above all, we are not so we are controlled for no being controlled. So, John, who almost very has to say, we be our share somebody, another chrome. So, we need to be kept by this power of God, which is through Christ. We will put our faith in him to hold us so that he doesn't just hold us, he gives us and holds us. You see, that's the amazing thing when we give our heart to Lord Jesus Christ. Because people are so or here can say up in what still yes only with the neighbor. So not so you shouldn't make a tie so. So I move to my other point. And that is the right estimate every sinner must have before God. Verse 13, we have got to the public, and the publican stands afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here the Lord is using the ashamed disposition of this tax collector to show in what condition all sinful persons must appear or approach him. See, I just used to, or you see, to Jenny, who saw the boy, you know, and then the new one, one who write him, you know, or it's a mess, man. To be also be Arab, right? Say, yeah, the boy, okay. Even before I move on, you know, even believers, in our praises to the Lord, we must always remember that our very lips and heart that is praising God is not pure before the Lord. During the week, having to be said bad word, during the week, having to be done any bad thing, and yet we come to praise Him. So when we come, even as believers, we should never think that we are so righteous and holy that God should accept our worship. No. Yes, we are unclean in ourselves without Christ's righteousness. So we come in His name. Because, you know, the nearer any person gets to God, the greater his or her sense of sinfulness, the greater his sense or her sense of sinfulness deepens. So, Emra, we be ready in China, or by the name, ye no, be ready, no. You know, who's any warning, eh, can see a bar. You see, the more we get to know God well and better, the more we know how unworthy we are before Him. That's the state of this tax collector. He came to God in sincerity. He knew his life has not matched up with the law of God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because we have this example in the Bible. The parents of Samson. Let me read to you. Judges 13, 20-20. When the Lord came to them to give them the prophecy about Samson. For it came to pass in Judges 13, verse 20-22. For it came to pass when the flame, at this time they offered a sacrifice, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flames of the altar. And Manoah, that is Samson's father, and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen the Lord. Not physically, but we have sensed God's presence. They fell down on their faces. And they what? He said, we shall die. Why? Because they felt their sinfulness. This holy God has condescended to come. Prophet Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. When he saw the vision of God, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, Isaiah also, when he had that vision, he said, well, I am unclean. My lips is unclean, and I dwell with people who are unclean. You see, Prophet Daniel also, Daniel chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me to corruption, and I retained no strength. Prophet Daniel, he has fasted for almost 21 days, and he was confessing, and the time of Israel's deliverance was getting closer. And he had this vision, and he said that when he saw the vision, God, we are giving the vision about representation of God, he said that there remained no strength in me. You see, he became weak. For my comeliness, any good in him was turned into corruption. This is how we see God, if we really know God. If we have really come to know God, this is how it is. So you see, look at this prophet, Samson's parents, the prophet Isaiah, prophet Daniel. When they came to sense God's presence, they felt nothing. They felt they are weak and sinners. You see? So sometimes I wonder the kind of God that some today claim to speak to them directly. Haven't we heard people say God speak to them? And whether through dreams or whatever. But you see, after such so-called encounter with God, such people feel so proud and bold in themselves. This is total contradiction to what the Bible teaches about those who come to know the Lord. If the Lord speaks to me, if the Lord comes to me, whatever form, whether vision or whatever. Look at Moses at the burning bush. When he realized it was God, he said that he was afraid. But today people claim that God has spoken to them, and it's like, it rather makes them like they have some power to do whatever. No! If we come to know the Lord, not even in that horrible way, if we come to understand His word, then that we come to Him as sinners, for us to realize the Lord has saved us, He'll make us realize that we are so far from Him. He'll let us realize that we don't deserve His mercy. He'll let us realize that we are weak in ourselves. Until we have come to this point, we never know the Lord. Look at Apostle Paul, a bold person going to kill Christians on the Damascus road. And later on, when the Lord revealed Himself to him, he said, "My Lord." But before, he was a bold person. He didn't want people to be mentioning the name of Christ. But he said, "My Lord, what will you have me to do?" And rather than I persevere in humility, you see. So when people think they have come to know the Lord and they are so proud, it tells you they are false. You know why? Every spiritual experience, to be genuine, we have to examine it by scriptural examples. That's the error of our time. People say, "Well, God spoke to me and God said this." What does the Bible speak about God dealing with people? If God dealt with people, and people become so bold at themselves, then they are true. But the Bible tells us that everyone who has come to know the Lord and experience His presence, as Abraham said, "I am dust and ashes. I am nothing before the Lord. My sinfulness comes to view, and I rather seek Him to pity me, to hold me up." That's the picture. Again, "And the publican standing afar off will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven." Yes, this is a person who comes to realize how far he is from God. He cannot lift even his eye, just this old vision, his physical eye. He cannot even turn his eye to pray, as if God is really standing in front of him. And this indicates the sense he has of his sinful condition, how he felt about how he stands before the Lord, and how he's unworthy to approach the thrice holy God. He feels his unworthiness to approach the most holy God. On whom makes man on self-attention, you know. You see? People may think, "Holy, holy, crong. They don't even think of how they are far from this holy God. And they may say, "Holy, holy, holy." No. The holiness of God demands us to realize how far we are from Him. And I'm sure this tax collector will realize every lie he has told. At this point, his selfishness, his pride, his unkindness, his lust, his greed, and every sin he has done takes him far away from God. So he feels unworthy even to pray to this holy God. "That God whom I have lived my life against, how can I really think that He will accept me?" Friend, this is the first approach, or the first step, a sinner, if really we want to approach the Lord sincerely, this is the first approach. To come to this stage where we see that we are far away from God. God is far from us, because we are sinners. God is far from us. This is the lesson Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us in this parable. And as I said, all the parables are teaching us about how sinners can really come to know God. And even when they come to know how they can walk with Him. It's once direct, He teaches. And this is why it is warning us to realize how the step we should approach the Lord if we have not come to know Him. The next step is, "And but smote upon His breast, saying, God be merciful to me." So, to me, before He can even utter His word, he felt his sinfulness. He calculated his sins. He calculated how far he is from God. He confessed that he was a sinner. A sinner means he was conceived in sin. He was born in sin. That's the first one. That also or yet the boy in the you say no bonim ya bonim son of actually the kind. And also a sinner by practice, having committed many actual sins. Or sounds of dreams or yet the boy in if you said or no one can stop by today we are seeing the boy in the body. A sinner by birth, a sinner by practice. Such is how we are. So as a guilty and filthy sinner, and indeed he is a persistent one like any one of us, he knew he deserves no favors from God, but punishment. You see, he realized that, no, for God to really come to me, it should come in punishment. So he had to go in here, I want 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 to go in here, who said, we did forward by Jenny, and who is so his punishment that he deserves. Yes, we see this in appealing to God's mercy. You see, he was appealing to God's mercy. And that is all that every sinner is. And that's all that we come to plead before the Lord, if we want the Lord to accept us, to clothe us with his righteousness. If we want the Lord to welcome us, we must plead to his mercy. So if I say, the point for us, if I say, Radi Jinya, or say, you have payment friend with all the Mobrohun, or say, payment friend on the Mobrohun, not in the one Fatcha, the Mobrohun, then a Kata Yasu. And open and go back to me, I deal with him. If God will accept you as righteous, you must plead his mercy, his forgiveness of sin. Say, Radi Jinya, Joseph, and Chinyania, or say, Ostra. That is why we believers, we come, we pray, we confess our sins. Because though he has brought us to his family, daily we sin against him. As 1 John tells us, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is to believers, not to unbelievers. If we say we have never sinned, we deceive ourselves. God's truth is not in us, you see. Until God has taken us from this world to heaven where there is no sin, we are not free. Though, because of his salvation, when he saves us, we are free from the condemnation of sin. But as long as we are here, we are tempted by Satan. We are tempted by our own heart. There are sins around us. So our final redemption is when we go to heaven, where there will be no sin. That is why in Revelation we are told that there will be no pain, death, sorrow, anything that corrupts. Because there will be no sin in heaven. But in this earth, our own bodies, we still sin. We approach God in that sense. Look at the conclusion of what Galatians 5 said in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So, this is biblical humility. Bible humility is to own myself before God as I'm a sinner. That is what humility is about. Anything less than that, I am a proud person. Bible say kasa ahobrasia sinetre so me be radie no musa me sacre me de boye ni bibiara atifi sadie mu no ya fama so. See, we come to God as sinners. That is humility. If you say we are humble, not that we walk around and people see how we are respectful to them. No, we are humble sincerely because we come to God and feel our sinfulness. That is humility. God has what Jesus Christ says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And the exaltation is to have his righteousness. So we'll be accepted. So that we'll be lifted up. We'll become citizens of heaven. So that our hopes will be changed. Our own mind and everything will be changed. Though we live here, but we have a home in heaven. Which place is high and greater and delightful than heaven? This is the exaltation God gives to. He doesn't exalt us to become heads of state in this world. Then the exalted become rich people in this world. The riches of grace makes us citizens of heaven. This exaltation God, not just Christ, is talking about here. Because I'm sure this publican who have been a rich person, you know, God, the tax collectors were very rich. That's why, they charged them with corruption because they try to cheat people when they are collecting the taxes. But he has been exalted by grace, not in this world. Friends, God's mercy is cure for us, for every sinner, as I've repeated, I've said before, who believe in Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross of Calvary is our only hope. For God to exalt us, we must come to him, lay our heart before him, look to his mercy, Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will have mercy on us. He took on him God's wrath for our sins on the cross of Calvary. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom, that Lord Jesus Christ, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God is all these years holding his wrath against you. He wants you to come to Lord Jesus Christ to find his satisfaction, which he was satisfied in his sacrifice for sinners. To find the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect righteousness, by faith in his blood, when he died on the cross of Calvary. So to be right with God, you must shelter under the righteousness of Christ. So that's the only hope we have. May the Lord help us. And if you have not come, may you come to him in this way. That's the only way we can be accepted. May we throw away everything we claim in ourselves and bow down the heart and bow down the knee. Come with our sinfulness and lay before him. He will exalt us, make us citizens of heaven. Yembre Radianim, Yantia, Bibia, Papa, if you say, we are moving, and yea, and yea, see a man in Champion. Fair,